Trend Micro offers industry-leading anti-spam catch rates and flexible anti-spam solutions at different points in the network, meeting the needs of various business sizes and messaging infrastructures. Our gateway software and appliance solutions, as well as our in-the-cloud hosted service, are optimized to block the vast majority of spam before it even enters the network, preserving costly resources and keeping the network secure. Let Trend Micro help you find the best anti-spam solution to protect your business email.
Hello and welcome to this SearchSecurity.com podcast sponsored by Trend Micro. I'm Eric Parizeau. It's great to have you with us. In this podcast, we're going to count down the top five technologies that can help you battle today's spam-related threats. Joining us from the UK is Michael Cobb, founder and managing director of Cobb Web Applications, a consultancy that offers IT training and support in data security and analysis. Thanks for being here, Mike.
It's a pleasure, Eric.
Before we get started, I want to mention that this podcast is part of our Messaging Security School, which you can visit at any time by navigating to searchsecurity.com/messaging. Mike, let's set the stage before we get started. For security pros out there who maybe haven't spent much time worrying about spam in the past couple of years, just briefly, what are the key ways that the spam threat landscape has changed?
Well, I think over the last couple of years, it's become a really big and profitable business. One of the reasons it's become so big and profitable is that it's harnessing the power of huge botnets now to send out a phenomenal amount of spam. And also, spammers are increasingly sophisticated. They're changing the message format, so they're using things like images and PDF files to bypass traditional spam filters. So I think that's the reasons why we've seen such a huge increase in the last few years.
Okay, Mike, as I mentioned, we are going to count down today's top five spam-fighting technologies. So let's start the countdown with spam-fighting technique number five, black and white lists. How are these being used today?
Well, black and white lists, face senders and block lists, whatever you want to call them, they tend to be either sort of loved or hated by administrators. Those that love them like the fact that they have sort of granular control over what messages get through, while those who hate them see them as, you know, just one more time-consuming task in an already busy day. They're being used both sort of at the enterprise level and at also at the user level. Most mail messages, clients now have the ability for the user to block or allow particular types of message or messages from particular people. And I think it is important that organizations and individuals do have that level of granular control. It can be very annoying, for example, if, say, you subscribe to a newsletter and the spam filters further up the chain keep blocking that newsletter from coming through to your mail client. With black and white lists, you can sort of say, yes, you want that particular sender to be able to send you mail. So I do think they're an important part of sort of the overall sort of fight against spam, and I mean they're certainly used by a lot of ISPs to sort of block known IP addresses that are sending spam. One of the problems or the criticisms is that, you know, the lists are so big now that they take an awful lot of time to maintain, and if a genuine address is added onto the blacklist for a particular reason, a mistake or an error, it can take a long time to actually have it removed, and it can cause huge problems for the victim in the meantime. I, for example, had a client who was given an IP address for a new website, and it was obviously had been used, the IP address had been used in the past by a spammer, and they had all sorts of problems trying to get their sort of emails in and out because this IP address was on a blacklist. So it does provide granular control, but there are a lot of problems trying to maintain them and keep them accurate, which is why it's only at number five.
All right, continuing our countdown, item number four in our list of today's top five spam battling technologies, content filtering. Mike, this method has been around for a while, and it's still largely effective, right?
Yes, I mean, some people feel it's sort of getting past its sell-by date, but it's certainly the most commonly used method to stop spam sort of reaching users' mailboxes. Content filters sort of act either on the actual content of the message or the information contained in the headers, such as the subject and the sort of to and from fields, to sort of classify, accept, or reject the mail. The most popular filter is the Bayesian filter. It's a statistical filter. What it does, it analyzes an awful lot of mail that's sort of going through the system and into your mailbox, and it compares that against the spam that you're getting and comes up with a sort of baseline threshold of what it considers to be a genuine message. It's sort of a heuristic approach, and what it's trying to do is determine the context within which a word or a phrase is used and determine if the message is likely to be spam or not. As you say, it's been around for a while. It is still fairly effective. It sort of cuts out about 60% of spam. The main area where it is successful is sort of pure text messages. One of the problems, though, with sort of heuristics and sort of content filtering is that it's having trouble adapting to the subtle changes that spammers are introducing to get their spam through. And also, you know, content filters do misclassify legitimate email as spam, and so as a result, you have to have sort of a quarantine folder or a spam folder. And so, like black and white lists, you know, there's a burden then for either an administrator or an end user who has to keep checking, you know, the quarantine folders to see if there are sort of any genuine emails in there. So it's still sort of a required part of sort of the arsenal against spam, but spammers are getting more sophisticated and finding a lot of ways to sort of bypass content filtering.
All right, so maybe not quite as effective as it once was.
Correct.
Moving on with the countdown of the top five technologies for battling spam today, number three, traffic analysis. Tell us about that one, Mike.
I think sort of traffic analysis is going to be one of the ways forward. Content filtering actually looks inside the email message to determine whether it's spam or not. It actually looks at the sort of the mail headers and the content. And obviously that's sort of quite sort of an intensive analysis, consumes sort of CPU cycles, and sort of requires quite heavy processing. What traffic analysis does, it looks to try and identify senders of spam without having to actually inspect the email content. When somebody's sending spam, it creates a very different sort of traffic pattern than to normal email. It's normally sent in very large volumes or sort of brief intermittent bursts. The sender and the hello string, which is part of the sort of email message, all change very rapidly, and also there tends to be a lot of rejected or non-existent email addresses in these sort of bursts of spam that come out. So this all sort of creates sort of characteristics that sort of traffic analysis techniques can look at and pick out the senders of spam. Unfortunately, you know, because of the use of botnets now, a lot of the senders are actually sort of innocent end users that don't actually realize that their sort of machines have been sort of taken over. But by looking at the overall volume, traffic analysis can identify sort of a burst of spam and then sort of reject that sort of mail before it reaches the inbox. And as I say, I think sort of traffic analysis, not just in sort of the area of spam, but also in sort of viruses, it is going to be sort of a very important tool going forward to sort of help battle, you know, sort of the malicious users on the internet. And it's going to be something I think that sort of ISPs and the big internet carriers look more and more to sort of use within their systems.
Mike, like many spam-fighting methods, traffic analysis strikes me as a mitigation method that is changing all the time. How much effort or maintenance is required on the part of enterprise security pros and their network management counterparts to ensure that this strategy is successful?
Unfortunately, I think it's going to require, you know, a lot of time. People sort of moan about sort of black and white lists that, you know, they take a lot of administrative time to keep up to date. And unfortunately, sort of spammers are changing their tactics so quickly that even something like traffic analysis or anything that's using some sort of signature database or sort of recognition database is going to have to keep that database up to date with whatever techniques sort of spammers are starting to use. So it is going to be a lot of work higher up the email chain, but the advantage with something like traffic analysis is that it can catch a lot of email in one go, and so it's a lot more effective in that respect. But yes, it is going to require somebody to keep analysing what spammers are doing and sort of update the technology so it can sort of recognise, you know, when spam is being sent out.
Okay, Mike, we are getting close to the top of the list. Item number 2 on our countdown of the top 5 technologies for battling today's spam threat is sender ID. Mike, there's some controversy surrounding this one, isn't there?
There is. It's been championed by Microsoft, and most things that Microsoft do tend to sort of create controversy. What sender ID does is it validates the origin of an email message, which at the moment is very difficult to do. What it does, it verifies the IP address of the sender against the owner of the sending domain. Now, this is, on the face of it, sort of, you know, a potential sort of spam killer, but what the problem is that it requires everybody to implement sender ID to enable the mail servers to always validate the sender. So unless you've got sort of blanket adoption of this, it's not going to work. And I think it's a bit of a shame that sort of sender ID and domain keys, which is sort of a Yahoo, IBM initiative, are falling through the cracks because of politics. I mean, at number 2, I've got sender ID, but with that, I sort of encompass sort of any type of sender validation technology. I think spam has become such a big problem. I mean, one of the latest figures was from the European Union that it's sort of, you know, 10 billion euros a year is the cost of spam just within Europe. And, you know, with that type of cost, I would have hoped that the industry could, you know, put politics aside and come up with an industry standard that really would help tackle, you know, this issue of not being able to validate who is actually sending the email. I quite like domain keys because it uses public key cryptography, but the problem there is that it's more complex to set up than sender ID. So, you know, I do think these initiatives are certainly a step in the right direction, but until we can get sort of industry agreement on how we're going to do it, we're still going to get spam. But I think it's an important step, and that's why I have it at number 2.
Okay, Mike, we've reached the top of our list. The number 1 technology for battling today's spam-related threats is bandwidth throttling. Mike, can you explain the concept of bandwidth throttling for us?
Sure. We get spam because spammers make money out of sending it. So if we can kill the economics of spam and make it uneconomical for spammers to send out these, you know, millions of emails and messages, we'll be able to sort of solve the problem. And that's why I've got bandwidth throttling at number 1, because it really hits spammers where it hurts. So a spammer sort of sees himself almost as an entrepreneur, and what they're doing is taking advantage of a unbelievably inexpensive and huge distribution network. And what bandwidth throttling does is turn the tables and starts to destroy the economics behind it. Traffic analysis is sort of a part of bandwidth throttling, but what bandwidth throttling does, instead of sort of blocking or stopping emails, it turns off the resources for that particular sender. So it doesn't block any emails, you don't get any false positives at all or false negatives. Eventually all the messages would get through, but a spammer needs to send his spam fast and in vast quantities. So with bandwidth throttling, using sort of traffic analysis, you can sort of tell that, you know, a particular use of resources and bandwidth is being used to send spam, and so you just throttle back the resources that are available to actually handle that those email messages. And what this does, it makes it very painful for the spammer, because instead of sending thousands of messages, you know, over a short period of time, they're only just trickling out one or two at a time. And so they either sort of drop the connection or try and move off somewhere else to send their spam. So this is why it's my number one, because it tackles the root of the problem. The way the internet is set up at the moment is that it's very economical and profitable for spammers to operate. And bandwidth throttling really does start to tackle the issue of the economics and turning the table against the spammer. So that's why it's my number one. I do think, though, that as we stand at the moment, you need all five technologies to really sort of keep those sort of inboxes as free as you can from spam.
Mike, these are the top five technologies for battling spam today. But in your minds, what are the next generation technologies that may not be ready just yet, but items that would perhaps be on the list if we do this again a year or two from now?
Spammers are so ingenious and inventful that trying to sort of see what sort of techniques they'll come up with, you know, in the next 6 months, let alone a couple of years, is quite difficult. But I think sort of looking at the landscape as we have it now, I think we will get to the point where some form of sender ID, you know, where there's identification of who's sending it, whether we're using sort of public keys, you know, digital signatures. I think we're going to see something along those lines emerge. It may even be backed up by legislation. Now, legislation is sadly failed in most areas of trying to police the internet, but I think something like this may get backing, that if you want to operate as an ISP, that, you know, you have to implement some sort of form of digital signatures or sender ID if you're actually going to sort of move people's mail around. In terms of the filtering, I still think that will be in use. I think it'll become more sophisticated. It needs to start being able to recognize text within images and spam within sort of PDF documents. But what I do hope is that it doesn't hog any more CPU time than it does already, because I think we're all aware that with these sort of anti-spam programs running in the background every time our mailboxes check our check for mail, your sort of laptop or desktop starts to slow down. So are less sort of, you know, resource intensive than they are at the moment.
Regardless, Mike, it does sound like, no matter how you slice it, there's no panacea coming down the road that will cure spam anytime soon.
No, I mean, I think it's important when sort of certainly at an enterprise level you're looking at sort of your anti-spam strategy is that you do look at the cost benefit of what you're doing, because I don't think you're going to be able to eliminate spam completely, and trying to sort of stop those, you know, last one or two spams coming through, I think the cost of trying to do that probably isn't you know, worth it. So I think it is a case of setting a level of what is an acceptable level of spam for users to have to handle, and sort of, you know, building your budget and strategy around that. But no, unfortunately, there's not a silver bullet there at the moment to kill spam.
Okay, let's recap our list of the top five technologies to fight today's spam-related threats. Number 5, black and white lists. Number 4, content filtering. Number 3, traffic analysis. Number 2, sender ID. And number 1, bandwidth throttling. Michael Cobb of Cobb Web Applications, thanks so much for joining us today.
It's been a pleasure.
For more materials in our Messaging Security School, visit searchsecurity.com/messaging, and you can listen to more of our podcasts on our podcast page at searchsecurity.com/podcast. Thanks again to our sponsor, Trend Micro, and thanks to you for joining us. I'm Eric Parizeau. Stay safe out there.